This morning, obviously, you know, Brother Rick filled you in about Miss Beverly. Dusty did ask of me, and probably ask of Rick too, to have one request after you pray, and that is she needs rest, and she just needs to be there and allow God to use the doctors and the medical to just fill her body with fluids and with some nourishment. So he's asking that no visitors, please. No visitors, okay? I would strongly encourage you to probably even just text if you want to ask how she's doing, okay? But please respect that, okay? Because I know she is very tired. She's been battling this for days, okay? So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to look at some scripture. Because although I don't have an outline to follow, God knew about this long before I did. So let's pray. Father, we bless you this morning. God, as we gather here as the body, you waste nothing. You are sovereign. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But Father, I pray that we would allow your Spirit to move in us and to speak to us. Father, this time is always really very brief. God, I pray that we'd please you and honor you this morning. God, as we intercede for our sister, we thank you so much for Miss Beverly. God, the word faithful comes to mind. So faithful, so loving, so generous. We praise you for that today. We thank you for her. Lord, we look forward to more of that to be spread into our lives too. And God, as the body is gathered here, I know that I'm the one delivering the audible words, but Father, I'm praying that you would deliver inspiration to each one of our hearts and our spirits this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one follow-up announcement to you that just came to my attention. Is Mr. Brian's over there. Brian, raise your hand just real quick. Raise your hand. Brian works for Aeropostale, and Aeropostale has started a thing called Teens for Jeans. And Aeropostale is collecting used jeans to be given to homeless teenagers. So, if you have jeans that qualify for that, you may take them by Aeropostale and drop them off. Okay? It's called Teens for Jeans. Aeropostale's in the Oglethorpe Mall. And so if you have that, it'd be a great opportunity for you to get rid of those jeans and knowing they're going to a good cause. Okay? So please remember that. Teens for Jeans. Okay? God always has a sense of humor to me, and I say that a lot, not just to you, but to myself. Twice God has done this to me as far as He has told me beforehand, hey, Dane, you better get ready because on Sunday morning I'm going to need you in something in a way that you didn't know I need you. And most of the time, I'm probably like a lot of you. Was that really God? Was God really speaking that to me? About 6 years ago, when Rivers Community Church was a part of our network at the time, I woke up on a Sunday morning and I had a dream that I had walked into the gymnasium and Dusty had told me, hey, you need to go preach at Rivers. About 6:45 that morning, Dusty called me. This isn't a dream now. We're back into reality. And Dusty says, hey, Keith Niger just called me. He's sick. You're on deck. Go out there this morning. Cool. No problem. God has spoken to me. Yesterday sometime, probably one of my daydream states, which I stay in quite a bit, is that, hey, I'm just being honest, okay? That I remember thinking, kind of like Paul, I don't know if I was in the third heaven on the earth. I really don't know where I was. I just know I was daydreaming. I remember in the back of my mind, God saying, I'm going to need you tomorrow morning. And I'm like, well, God, I know I got the young adult group. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. No, Dane, I'm going to need you for more than that. All right. Okay, and then I'm back out of my daydream. Dusty called me about 7:45 this morning and said, told me about Miss Beverly. But I know that God wastes nothing. But I tell you those stories to tell you that when God is speaking, God is speaking. He is not saying something so He can tell the angels, I told Dane something. He is speaking to you and to I and to us this morning because there's something He has to say to you that is for you at this moment. And I don't know what all that is. But this morning, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Briefly, John, go ahead and throw one up. Oh, John, I never gave you a title. Go ahead, throw something up there for me, okay? John asked for a title, so when he puts it on the web later on, it'll be by title, okay? So, John, whatever you come up with, you're good, okay? It might be Feed My Lambs. Terry threw out Feed My Lambs. This week, I was driving down the road, and I got to thinking about my young teenagers over there that I love very much. And I just got to thinking, church, what's the difference between loving Jesus and knowing Him? The devil even knows Jesus. But I don't think Satan loves him. Demons know him by name. I don't think they love him, though. I think there's a lot of human beings around the world today that know him, but they don't love him. And I want you this morning to take inventory of your life to ask the very simple question, do you know him or do you love him? And the love drives you to know him through experience. Does his love for you compel you this morning to live your life in such a way that your actions say, I get to know him through an experience of him? Not to know facts, not to know the answers to questions, so you can be on that Bible challenge thing on the Gate and Chill Network. Never seen it. I just know it exists, okay? But so you can love him, so you can be useful for him. We pick up the story this morning, John 21, 15 through 17. This is post-resurrection Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. Peter had denied Christ three times already. Jesus had died and was buried and resurrected. And now he meets up with the disciples on the beach. He's cooking fish for them. Post-resurrection. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now if I was Simon Peter, I'd have been a little nervous. What is he going to ask me? Because our last conversation was, I'm not going to deny you. That was the last words that Peter had said to Jesus prior to this conversation. I'm in with you, brother. I got your back. But he didn't. So if I was Peter, I'd been kind of nervous. Like, oh, bet a scolding's coming my way. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Show me you love me. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, show me you love me. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. There's a lot of little nuances I could tell you about these scriptures this morning, but I don't want to go there. I just want to keep it very simple and very to the point. Do you love him? Is he calling you out to feed his sheep? Do you love him with a love that simply says, I love you because I love to be with you? You see, church, I believe a lot of us like to know of him so we can maybe live a life that's kind of, well, I know Jesus and I know God the Father, but when it comes time for action, my feet are a little reluctant to move. My heart struggles with doubts and fears. And if you can understand to replace that today with the love that Jesus has for you, that it's an experience that says, yes, Lord, I do love you and I can't wait to feed your sheep. Every one of us sitting in this room, hundreds of stories about our background, but there's a lot of things that we have in common, and one of them is this. Somebody, and for most of us here, it's somebodies, have made great sacrifices to be where we are today. They've either given time or money, given unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, forgiven us in spite of our shortcomings, moved in our hearts to say, you can do that. You can do it. They've made a sacrifice. But I know, from my own family, my parents, from my own son, from my own wife, that you know what the thing that drives me the most when it comes time for sacrifice for them, and I believe back from them to me, is this. The most important thing is being with me. Being with me. Sacrifice to give is one thing, but sacrifice to be with, I think, is a whole new level. Because the sacrifice that Jesus had just made for Simon Peter wasn't so he could run off and do something on his own. It was so he could be with Jesus forever. And that's a sacrifice that should mean something to you and move your heart this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him sacrificially? Meaning, you love him just to be with him. How's the struggle in your life to open up the Word of God and just spend a little time? Because you probably would use words this morning, something like, yeah, this is God's love letter to me. That is true. But when you open it up, is it more like rules and regulations? Or is it a love letter that says, I just want to be with you? Whatever it takes, I just want to be with you. Simon, do you love me? Then do something to be with me as you go feed my sheep. Because the scripture that I didn't put up there, the very next thing that Jesus says to Peter is this. Good news, Peter. Day is coming when you don't get to walk around on your own. There's going to come a day, Peter, where someone's going to lead you around by your hand, and you're going to have to do things you don't want to do and go places you don't want to go. And implied there is that, Peter, one day you're going to have to choose. Do you love me to the point of death? And church history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not consider it worthy to be crucified upright because of his Lord and Savior. That's what church history tells us. Okay? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Be honest with yourself this morning. Don't try to hide something from yourself that you can't hide from God. If you're struggling with that this morning, let's be honest. If you need time, or if you need someone to be praying for you this week, use the prayer cards. We take them up at the end. Ask Dusty, Rick, and I to intercede and to pray for your heart. If your heart is full of bitterness, or your heart is full of fear or anxiousness this morning, let's deal with it. Let's do something about it. Don't carry it around as baggage. All it's going to do is weigh you down. It's going to keep you from feeding the sheep. It's going to keep you from loving. It's going to keep you from wanting to be with God the Father. John, go ahead and put up the next scripture. And this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Parents, grandparents, how often do you look for just a crack in a conversation to tell somebody about your children or your grandchildren? Just a crack. Just give me an opening. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something. You know, in today's world, most of us don't carry pictures of our children or grandchildren or wallets, we just get the phone out. And there's 500. Whew, that's tough sometimes, you know. Sometimes I go into daydream land. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I make it through most of them, but point being is this. Paul is very honest in saying, look, I didn't have anything else to offer you except my Lord and Savior and His story. And look how it changed my life. Saying, I didn't even know the fancy words to use. I couldn't be smart enough to talk you into something. But all I could tell you is what He had done to me and the love in my life and how it changed me and the sacrifice He had made. And then the next scripture that I didn't have John put up there is this. Paul recounts to the church in Corinth the things that he had done that he had made as a sacrifice for them. So you see, Jesus loved him enough and Paul received it into his life that he was willing to turn around and say, knowing Him is the thing that's worth dying for. Because being with Him is the only thing that matters. And I want you to know, speaking very honestly with you today, and you know this, that in our world today, there's a lot of competition for Jesus Christ. The real Jesus. The authentic Jesus. The author and perfecter of our faith. And I think back to the John scripture, that I think the world is trying to offer you up a false Jesus that says you can kind of know Him, you can kind of know about Him, you can kind of know their Scripture, and you know Him. And I want you to know something. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Okay? You don't get 99% of Jesus and you have all of Him. It's either all or nothing. And I believe as a church this morning, as we look into 2014, wherever you are, what's going on, is Jesus is offering us an opportunity to say, are you all in? Okay? That there's no time to get around to it. The time has arrived, and it's right here. Midnight is striking. And it is time to ask yourself a question. Yes or no, do you love Him? And how is that compelling you to show the world that you love Him? I think it can be in a lot of different ways, and we talk about that from some time. But knowing Him through an experience driven by His love is more than man can tell you or more that can be written about him, that it is a love that moves. Most of you know my wife had surgery 2 weeks, it'll be 2 weeks ago this Wednesday. And she told me that the Tuesday night beforehand, we were up probably watching a useless marathon of Duck Dynasty. About 10. What? Well, I mean, I've seen every episode like 10 times. You're right. I'm sorry. I repent of that sin. Hey, James, what's your nickname for Kathy these days? Bluegrass Goddess. We're from Kentucky, so that's why he gets the Bluegrass Goddess. And she told me actually the next day, she said about 10:30, she said, I had the most overwhelming sense of peace come up on me. Not that I was afraid of the surgery, not that I was really that worried about the surgery, she said, but I just had a peace that it was impossible to be worried about it, that I couldn't worry. Would you like to have that tomorrow morning when you show up for work? Would you like to have that tomorrow when you're dealing with somebody that you really don't want to deal with? That says, I can't get upset with them because the peace and the love of Christ that I know so personally won't allow me to do it. That's personal. I know you know the personal, but are you understanding today that you might have to revisit that in your own life? You may have to ask yourself, is it personal to me today? That it's not for anybody else here, it's for you. And that the love that God is speaking to us today is a powerful, earth-shattering, life-changing, life-altering, course-moving kind of love. It changes the people, us, the people around us. So I put it before you again. Do you resolve yourself to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? So I'm going to pray for us. What do you think about that for brevity? Huh? Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. I got some of the teenagers. What do you think about that for shortness? Hey, Maya, why are you clapping? Oh, I didn't know. If I didn't use a different word, someone were going to be over there on their phones looking at a brevity. What is that word, brevity? They know I love them, and they get to hear this all. They get to hear all that nonsense all the time. You got to have a sense of urgency. You got to own it. And some days you just got to downright fight for it. Stick to it. Because most of you sitting in this room would agree, is it worth the fight? It's worth the fight, isn't it? Okay. It's worth the fight to see it in somebody else's life, isn't it? Okay. He loves you. I want you to love Him with everything you've got. I want you to be excited just when you hear the name Jesus, because it tells us in Scripture one day every knee and tongue is going to have to confess. I want you to get excited when you hear the name Yeshua. I want you to get excited when we sing Hallelujah. I want you to get excited when you hear the name Yahweh. I want you to get excited, not because you're going to get something, but because you understand the presence of the living God is with you and He's with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today. We can't outrun Your love. We can't outrun Your grace and Your mercy. Father, we just can't outrun You. And God, I'm thankful for that today. Lord, we need a touch from You. God, there is so many things on our hearts and our minds that it would overwhelm any human, but it doesn't overwhelm You. And thank You for that, Lord. Thank You. Lord, this morning I'm asking You to clarify whatever You've said. I'm praying that seeds will find fertile soil, produce a harvest of righteousness, many fold. God, we bless You. We honor You today. Thank You for Your word. It is truth. God, I ask this morning that You will not allow us to stop You from speaking today. Father, we give You these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I am going to open the altar, and Pastor Rick is going to be up here with me. Gary's going to jog on up here and play some music for us. Where is Rick? I mean, where is Gary? Could be. It's going to lead me to start singing. Anyway. Wow. That is a tough crowd. Good gracious. Oh, where's the... Hey, apparently on the gift of encouragement, y'all are low. Hey, Gary, come on down. You're the next contestant on Lead Time and Ministry.
I love you.
I should have told you we're going to be camp short. That's what I should have said. All right. The altar is open. Go grab somebody to pray with them. Go sit next to them. Say, hey, God loves you. God loves you, Corey. Corey's got an awesome story about God's love. Haven't you, Corey? Yes, he has. And so do you. And so do I. So you can fill out your cards. We'll take them up at the end. Pastor Rick and I will be up here if you want somebody to pray with you. Or you can go grab somebody else. Time's for you and God. Just a real quick update on Miss Beverly. They've diagnosed her with having pneumonia, which is something that she has literally battled her whole life. Literally. Her whole life. They are going to admit her. Okay? So there's an update for you as you proceed in praying for her. It'd be awesome to see not only prayed for, healed from the pneumonia and the cancer, but what causes that pneumonia in her in a reoccurring thing. So pray specifically today. We need some fluids. We need some ability to eat. We need our throat cleared. We need our lungs cleared. Okay? Let's pray. Father, today your church body comes and glorifies and honors you. May you be pleased with that. God, I thank you today that you're watching over Miss Beverly. Lord, I want to pray that you will clear her lungs. That God, you will heal that part of her. That you will allow her to have an appetite. Allow her to be able to have fluids. So, Lord, she can build her strength back up. God, I pray today that you would put the right medical people before her. And Lord, that means to me, that means ones that diagnose and take good care of her, but also the ones that need to hear the good news of Jesus. Because God, I know with Dusty and Audrey and Mr. Dale's in that room, a lot of people are going to be coming in and out. But the very presence of God, so awesome. Right here with us, or right there in the room, all at the same time. What an awesome God we serve, church. And Lord, we bless you today. Lord, as we go out from this place, we carry the greatest news the earth will ever know, and that is you love them unconditionally, waiting for a personal relationship. Lord, we put all this before you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thank you. Have a good day.